folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, inviting you once again to get in your comfy clothes, grab a snack, get your drink, kick back, relax, snuggle in, and join me for another hour of politics, conspiracy theories, music, comedy, and whatever other fine stuff I can squeeze into this hour. Let's get started. There's still a lot of talking going on about the AI, 3I, AI, EIO Atlas, except for NASA, who's doing a really poor Helen Keller imitation on the whole deal. I don't have a clippy to share on that tonight, but I did want to touch on it quickly. Unlike NASA. So this crazy thing, whatever it is, seemingly caused all these solar flares this past week. And, you know, is it siphoning the power, like for its starship or something? Because if it is siphoning sunlight to power its cosmic Prius, I kind of respect the grind. Meanwhile, I can't even keep my phone charged for a full day. Like, bro, teach me your ways. But it would kind of explain why the sun's been acting like a ring light on TikTok Live, overheating for no reason and blinding everybody with drama. You know what solar flares do to people? Have you ever noticed that the second the sun starts glitching, people's IQ scores drop like they hit a rock-bottom sugar drop after a weekend-long cannoli-eating contest? Some of y'all are walking around like your consciousness got unplugged and reinserted upside down. Not my listeners, of course, because we're...
Savvy.
I mean, I'm not saying Atlas is doing mind control, but people are going to the store still and bragging about their EBT cards and trying to do all kinds of crazy things with their EBT cards. Look at the stuff I got on my card. Meanwhile, the rest of us are standing there like, cool. I just paid $14 for eggs and the yolks were emotionally damaged. And the arrogance. I can't even believe it. People are negotiating deals like they're on Pawn Stars. It's like, dude, calm down. You're at a gas station buying Gatorade, not like a multi-million dollar apartment complex. And we got one of my favorite grocery stores who broke my heart this week, Aldi. What is up with Aldi? They are labeling their meat halal, like it's a plot twist. We'll talk about that later in a clippy. Also, and we got China buying the trailer park next to our military bomber fleet. Not even subtle, just straight up parking themselves next to America's TNT starter pack. Imagine the HOA meetings on that one. Hey, we brought noodles and a surveillance drone, don't mind it. What the heck, it seems like half the population is mentally logged out anyway due to the electromagnetic confusion. Got some pretty cool conspiracy theories for you tonight as well. Meanwhile, the sun's out there flickering because Atlas is draining it like an influencer stealing Wi-Fi at Starbucks. If AI is going to keep causing these solar flares, the least it could do is send us a coupon code for groceries. I don't know what I'm going to do now that Aldi's let me down, changing religions overnight. Are you serious, Aldi? If I got some time, I'll stick a story in there about the real Cabbage Patch Kids. Have you heard this? The lore behind those little dough-faced gremlins is way wilder than the dolls themselves, but I want to save time for a veterans tribute because our veterans deserve it. And I'm going to talk about how Trump reopened the government. And maybe if I have time, the Sparkle Creed. When you get a load of this one, you guys are going to love it. But if I run out of time, that one might have to wait till next week, folks, too. I have so much content to cover tonight. I'm feeling more pressure than a guy at an all-you-can-eat discount buffet with an hour left to go before the lights go out. I'm so wired tonight, I've already finished my first cup of coffee. I need another one, but with whole milk.
I'd rather die than to drink skim milk. Who's out here drinking skim milk? That is sick, twisted, and demented. Okay.
That was Life of Katie Ann. If you haven't checked her out, check her out. She's hysterically funny. The first triple shot at clippies, I guess I could blame on the solar flare brain fog from 3AI, but I have a feeling it's got to do with the overall drop in IQ in our nation's youth. Enjoy listening to our future talk from clips from Free Dune TV, Goop Memes 1, JJ Lab 583, with some Frankie Avalon sprinkled in there for good measure.
Your story sad to tell, a teenage ne'er-do-well, most mixed up, non-delinquent, on the block.
Some guy named Albert Einstein?
Some guy. Albert Einstein. Man, wait till you find out about Benjamin Franklin, the lightning god.
Your future's so unclear now. What's left of your career now? Can't even get a trade in on your smile.
For real, how do 4 equal 8 but 5 equal 10, though? I've been asking this shit since I was a little girl, and it get me mad every time I ask this. Like, how do it equivalate?
Turn in your T's and go back to high school.
I went to a steakhouse for a friend's birthday, and she ordered a steak. And the waitress goes, how do you want your cow cooked?
I'm like, it's a weird way to order it, but whatever. So she asked my friend, how do you want your cow cooked? My friend says, I want it medium rare or something like that. And so then I wasn't in the mood for steak. I wanted a hamburger. I'd been craving a hamburger. So I order, you know, the cheeseburger. And she goes, how do you want your cow cooked? And I kind of like awkwardly look at my friend. So I was like, I feel really embarrassed. Do I point out that it's not cow? Like, hamburger is a pig. Everyone knows ham comes from pig. So I joked back. I was like, well, I want my pig cooked, well done. You're not supposed to eat pork, like, uncooked. Everybody knows that. That's why it's always been super weird to me that people will get, like, red in the middle on their burgers. And so she looks back at me and she goes, you mean your cow? And I'm like, I don't know how to have this conversation right now. Like, I'm not a teacher. I don't know how to educate you kindly. And I was like, sure, my cow. But it was so bizarre. I'm like, how do you not know? It's literally in the name. It's a hamburger. There's no hope for the world.
Beauty school drama. No graduation day for you. Beauty school drama.
I don't know about you guys, but after listening to a few minutes of that with the next guy, the clip he shared from Thought Plunge, he just wants to be left alone. Can you blame him? I can totally relate because I spent a little over 6 months in a cabin in the woods on a lake, totally off the grid, no running water. I bathed in a crystal clear stream with the mountains and trees and rocks surrounding me for privacy, or heated up water on a wood stove and bathed in a galvanized tub. Got in tune with nature, got myself totally back to balance, lived pretty much off the land, totally off the grid, no electric, a generator, very little technology. And it was actually around the time this year, it was on my birthday, which was last week, the day that I moved out of there because it was so freaking cold that taking the trips to the outhouse several times a day in snowy weather, I was just kind of over that. But, you know, it taught me so much. I was totally in balance mentally. My mind was so clear. Everything became so much stronger there. I was relaxed. I was healed. It was absolutely one of the best times in my life and one of the best investments I could have made, both for myself and for the future, because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it totally bare bones off the grid. In case there came a time when I needed to, yes, but the beauty and the magnificence of nature all around me and just the peaceful environment, honestly, folks, not dealing with people, I needed that reset. But I will admit, the first time I got back to civilization and took my first really long hot shower, that was a good day too. I will tell you though, unplugging from the drama and reading by kerosene lantern and being able to look out at the stars at night and hearing nothing but the sounds of wild animals tromping through the woods and watching the moonlight reflect off of the water was just gorgeous. It was serene. It was peaceful. And it did so much for healing me mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually that all of my gifts just seemed to be wide open, full throttle. And there are days that I really miss that particular environment. And I've gotten close to that, but it's a little more modernized now. And depending on where I'm at, when I'm in the city environment, I really, really cherish and miss my woods and my nature. And I encourage everybody to try it. Get your feet wet. Do it for a day, then do it for a weekend, and then a week. Get accustomed to it slowly if you're too modernized and you don't think you can handle it. Give yourself a chance to kind of get used to your surroundings and get your feet wet so that if there does come a time when the grid goes down or stuff gets crazy and you got to get out in the woods with a backpack and nothing but yourself to keep you company, you'll be thankful for the experience and the knowledge that you will have gained from learning to live that way. And the peace is unequivocally the best feeling that you'll ever have, fishing off of the lake and getting your own supper from nature. It's an amazing experience. So I can relate to the next guy.
Look, I understand your concern. I'm your new neighbor. You want to meet me and know me, but it's just not a good time for me right now.
It is the time or the place. Can you tell me that?
Are you the one that invited me to a cookout this weekend?
You told me no.
Oh, yeah, man, it's still a no, but one day we'll have a talk.
You've had over 6 months.
Oh, yeah? Well, how many more months for you to read between the lines? You know?
So Honestly, I don't know about you, but I can smell the drama from here off of that woman. And so, while I tell you, get to know your neighbors, form communities, you gotta pick and choose. And use your discernment. Get close to the people that you can trade resources with and that will be a good sense of support for you and that you can be for them should a situation arise where it would be better suited for you to join forces. The next triple shot from Huskies Elite, Flecka's Plug, and Hangtime Indie TV are testaments to the incredible audacity of people nowadays. One lady's trying to get a deal on sneakers by proposition the sales worker. The second lady's trying to get $400 worth of free beauty supplies just because she thinks she should. And the third guy wants to buy clothes on his EBT card.
It'll be $257.
Have a taste.
$257?
What's your name?
Jay.
You got any kids?
No.
You got no kids? You can be with that daddy.
No.
Why?
No. $257, ma'am.
I'm saying they ain't right. I ain't got the $257. So I can't use your discount or something?
Can't do that for you, ma'am.
Why? So I'm saying all this, and I can't get a discount for my son?
Sorry.
Sure, ain't nothing you can do about it.
I can't do nothing for you, ma'am. Give me $257.
You ain't got no manager here?
It's me.
I'm saying, like, my money good. I be shopping here all the time.
What's wrong with the $257? $240 plus tax. $17 tax.
It's my son's birthday, and you look good. You look like you could be a real good stepdaddy. You only got one son.
I'm cool. I don't want that responsibility, ma'am.
Ain't no responsibility at all. He be in his own little world. But I do need these shoes for my son right now.
For $257, it'll be yours.
I'm saying you can't go for like the $220, $210 maybe.
Sorry.
You sure?
Positive.
Like you dead ass right now.
Super positive.
You playing?
Playing, ma'am.
I'm saying like
these just came out today too. I can't do nothing on them.
They just came out today?
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all posted these the other day.
Mm-hmm. Telling them that we're gonna release them today.
Oh. I'm saying, y'all take a check?
No. No checks, ma'am. Card, cash.
So you can't nothing for
me. Nothing,
it
ma'am.
Could be like, I will see good. Like, I'm not gonna watch it.
$257, ma'am.
It's only me and you.
Super.
You got a girlfriend?
Nope.
What's wrong with you?
Would you like to stay focused?
Baby, get moving. Why keep your feeble hopes alive? What are you proving?
What are you proving?
You've got the dream, but not the drive.
So if you just get the 20% off of the new member.
We need to do 20% off times two, though, because I really need to get this. I only have 180.
And we can take off the retail.
I really want the retail, though.
Okay, so you only have 180.
I only have 180.
Do you want me to give you a $400 discount? Is that what you're asking?
Absolutely, yes.
No, ma'am. The facial is 305.
Okay.
So you're going to have to come up with 305.
Like, what ideas do you have?
I'm out of ideas. The thing that's frustrating, we talked about this in the consultation. Mm-hmm. We talked about all of this.
We definitely talked about the 180 facial.
And then you booked a 60-minute hydrofacial, which is 305. Mm-hmm. You did that. I did not put that in.
So now it's my fault.
So you booked the expensive facial, and then the lady goes, so now it's my fault. Yes, it really is. Getting
that's
the service.
The no shame move.
And you did the service, you got the expensive one, it's time to pay, and you go, oh, I only have 180. Where do we go from here? And then the lady should go, oh, I'm going to call my manager and see if she can help out. It's only a 3-digit phone number.
It's the extension. It's 911.
Now your bangs are curled, your lashes twirl, but still the world is cruel. Wipe off that angel face, go back to high school.
That's all for you.
Yeah,
305.
I mean, you knock this off a little bit?
No, sir. This is brand new.
Brand new? You say what?
305.
I take EBT?
EBT.
EBT.
You said what? Are you serious? EBT? Why? Are you serious?
Yeah. I go to Costco and use my EBT card.
This is hang time.
Right.
We deal with clothes.
Right. They should upload to Costco too.
But why would we take EBT here? We don't sell groceries.
Maybe that's something I need to look into.
EBT.
How about I look into this for you? Stay right here.
Okay.
What are you doing?
See, my question is, why would you try to use an EBT card?
I mean, it swipes like a regular card. I use it when I go to the grocery store.
What you tripping on, cuz?
Now you got about 2 more minutes to figure out what you're gonna do. Then okay. You gotta go.
Can I use my insurance card? Are you playing?
Bro,
you being for real?
My insurance paid for everything.
Why, you trying to buy $300 clothes with EBT?
We got tripping insurance. On, bro. We got from this is a new era, new age shit, bro. What y'all tripping on?
I got a better idea for you. It's a clothing store at the end of the field.
Right.
Go holler at them. They'll take care of you.
They got the same outfit?
Yeah, same one.
Same thing. All right, dude.
All right, brother.
I'll take it easy.
Yeah, you too.
All right, big dog. Well, at least you could have taken time to wash and clean your clothes up after spending all that dough. The doctor fixed your nose up. My pappy used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at MAGGIE_HEART at outlook.com to get it fixed.
The next clippy from Ariel Dujust is a woman who's showing a video of all of the food that she was able to buy for her 6 kids on her EBT card.
It's pretty effed up how people are posting content on the internet for all to see of them bragging of how much food they're able to purchase via EBT. The fact that you're bragging of how much food you have in your fridge while many families are out here struggling, right? We have some parents who are working 40 plus hours a week. They can barely afford groceries. They can barely pay their bills on time or pay the bill at all. Many of these families do not qualify for SNAP benefits, EBT, because they earn too much. A lot of people are struggling out here. And to watch people brag online of how much food they have in their fridge is a huge slap on the face to many struggling families. It's pretty effed up. Keep that information to yourself. Keep your food purchase. Keep it to yourself, man.
In New York, from MegaSassy71 and CatGal3, a woman tells a little bit about the situation in the city since Mondami got elected, and about 5,000 cops are going to resign on January 1st when Mondami gets sworn in.
So my aunt lives in New York City. And she came to my house because everybody knows that I'm in New York right now, helping a family member with their business, trying to get it up off the ground, invested in it here and there. So she ran into a police officer. The police officer told her that a lot of Muslims, after the Mandani was voted in, they started raising their Muslim flags and taking down American flags. And she stated that Muslims were all over the streets praying. Guys, and let me just clarify that they're taking down American flags and putting up their own flags. And then my aunt said that all the Muslims that, you know, or the Democrats that voted for this must be in shock. And I stopped her and I was like, they're not in shock. I told her this is what the Democrats wanted. This is what they voted for. They're voting to go against their own interests because they didn't want a Republican there. They don't care about the country. Democrats don't care. What they do care about is their feelings and getting their way on different things. But this wasn't the right way, guys. Welcome to hell in New York City. This is what the Democratic Party wanted. This is why they're the domestic terrorists of the United States of America. This is why we need to come out swinging. We need to vote like our lives depended on it. Because all of us women are going to be wearing those masks.
All right, guys, breaking news. The NYPD has 5,000 officers that are going to be resigning effective January 1st, 2026. I just dropped a report. Make sure you share it out. Get it out to all your people. I mean, you know, what else are we going to do? They all want to leave because they don't want to be ruled under a communist.
So with that ladies video, the time to have been coming out in droves to vote would have been before the election. But I have seen some scattered videos about possible election fraud, so hopefully they will review that. And she mentions all women wearing a mask. Well, that was COVID, and nobody's going to go for that anymore, I don't think. At least I hope not. Nobody listens to me anyway. She's talking about the hijab, and good luck with that. But this next clippy from Wall Street Bullion gives you the attitude of these foreigners and what we're up against. This is a Somali woman.
What are you going to do if we say no? We don't want to assimilate. We don't want to be like you. You people are so sick, honestly. Assimilate or you're not American. Who are you?
If I had the power, she'd be the first one I'd ship out on the next run. In the next clip from Gun Gnome, Kathy Hochul's coming for our guns, folks. And I've got some music in there from Kane Walker, Jay Walker, Hervey Borg. And the Hogan's Heroes March, composed by Jerry Fielding.
Confiscation has started in the state of New York. This is thanks to Governor Kathy Hochul, who just signed a new bill that allows cops to take your firearms without a warrant. Previously, under the Safe Homes Act of 2020, police had the option to remove firearms in plain sight or found during consensual or lawful searches. The new law requires officers to seize firearms, including those legally carried, when responding to such incidents. Firearms and carry licenses must be returned within 120 hours unless charges are filed to protect victims. Make sure you hit that follow button, guys, and if you want to help me out, there's a link in my profile. It'll take you to my GoFundMe and my YouTube. Even worse than red flag laws, they don't need a warrant to do this. It's simply how an officer feels about the situation at the time, basically playing Judge Dredd with your Second Amendment rights. They can take them away for 120 hours, and they don't give them back unless you prove you're innocent. 120 hours is a long time to go without your firearms for self-defense, and I think it's a way for the state to find out who's not following their ridiculous laws. For those of you living in free states, you may not be aware of all the restrictions that are placed on things like a common AR-15 in states like New York, California, Illinois, and this is a way for them to find out who's not complying. All gun laws are unconstitutional, and free men do not ask permission. This should not be a thing whatsoever, and this is some of the worst gun confiscation laws I've seen. So if someone you're living with or related to is upset at you, they can just lie to the cops and convince them to take your guns for that minimum period of 120 hours, and this takes effect immediately, guys. What do you guys think about this? Let me know with a comment down below. Make sure you're following this account and leave a like, guys.
Built this life my own damn way. I don't break, I don't fold. I've been the same since 10 years old. Working hard, don't ask for favors. Ain't got time for weak behavior.
Rambo, you can feel totally safe because we have the most advanced weapons in the world available to us.
I've always believed that the mind is the best weapon.
Times change for some people.
I'll tell you right now, the Supreme Court better get on that and fast. Because federal law should totally override that, and that is a bunch of BS. It's a direct infringement on our constitutional rights, and she's trying to slide it in using the domestic violence situation. For instance, if a guy's beating his wife or girlfriend and he's got a gun. But as the guy said in the video, it also opens doors for people to lie so that your guns are taken away from you. And then you have to prove your innocence. New Yorkers need to unite and stand up for their rights. This is not a good scenario. And it's certainly not the time for apathy.
I'm built from blood, sweat, and pain. Sunshine, thunder, wind, and rain. Stand my ground, don't tell me. I'm free as a man can be.
Here's a couple of clips of Trump reopening the government.
The United States, in an attempt to extort American taxpayers for hundreds of billions of dollars for illegal aliens and people that came into our country illegally from gangs, from prisons, from mental institutions. They wanted to pay them $1.5 trillion, which would have really hurt our healthcare businesses and our recipients at levels never seen before. Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was. They tried to extort, the Democrats tried to extort our country. In just a moment, I'll sign a bill exactly like we asked Democrats to send us all along, many days ago. This cost the country $1.5 trillion, this little excursion that they took us on. So with all of that, I just want to tell you the country has never been in better shape. We went through this short-term disaster with the Democrats because they thought it would be good politically. And it's an honor now to sign this incredible bill and get our country working again. Thank you.
Okay, I still don't understand why he continues to say the country has never been in better shape, but that's just me. Please remember to pray and use your discernment through all of this and form your own conclusions. You know that this show is for entertainment purposes only, right? We are not of this world, and we're not supposed to follow anybody blindly. And if you claim to be a Christian and you're constantly talking about prayer, then you need to open up, read that big book, pray and meditate on it. See what comes to you. It's conspiracy theory time. I've got a triple shot from Jesse S. Bean, Libs of TikTok official and conspiracy collective. If you have any children listening, folks, or you're in the office, you may want to, especially for the third video, have them leave the room for a minute and maybe put your headphones on because it's upsetting and maybe considered somewhat graphic.
I normally love to shop at Aldi's. You know, the prices are good or whatever. It says Aldi meat. It says Aldi. This is Aldi meat. Meat from Aldi. And guess what it says on the back? Right in old Central Florida, we got halal, Arab, Muslim, Islamic meat right in our stores. You know, what's the problem? What's the problem? I'm a Christian. Jesus is King. He is the only God, the only true one God. He's the truth, the way, and the light. Okay? And this meat, halal meat, you see that? Halal meat. Right on my Aldi hamburger that I'm going to get to my dogs, because it's perfect for my dogs. Halal meat comes from animals slaughtered and processed according to Islamic Sharia law. In my Central Florida, I didn't go to no Muslim store. They didn't warn me some of this meat has been where a Muslim invokes Allah's name during a swift cut to the neck. So that's not, I'm not being forced, right? Because I'm not going to eat it. I don't want no meat that was sacrificed for Allah.
The Daily Caller reports a U.S. nuclear bomber fleet shares a fence with a trailer park linked to Chinese intelligence. Here it is. So it's one thing for a Chinese couple to buy a trailer park. Here it is. This is thanks to Google Image. It is another thing for them to go to great lengths to hide who they are, including using multiple shell companies to conceal their identities. Why is this all important? Because they bought a trailer park in the middle of Missouri, no disrespect to Missouri. It's at the foot of the runway where America's largest fleet of B-2 bombers take off. So you can see on the map there, the B-2s are just on the other side of those trees. So here is the map. The trailer park is right behind the runway, less than a mile away. So in the event of war, our B-2 bombers would be taking off over Chinese-owned land. It's even more alarming when you factor in that the shell companies trace back to a convicted fraudster with alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party. This is happening in Republican Congressman Mark Alford's district in the state of Missouri. As I said, no disrespect to Missouri. I don't think you buy a trailer park in your Whitman Air Force Base in Missouri is an investment when you're sitting in Beijing going, you know, honey, what could we invest in? Oh, I know. Let's find a trailer park.
Let's get a lot of double wides.
Right.
I don't think they're interested in that, Leland. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, the Whitman Air Force Base is slap dab in the middle of our district, home of the B-2 stealth bomber, soon to be home of the B-21 Raider, which is coming in the not-too-distant future. And it's going to exponentially increase the size of that force there on Whiteman Air Force Base.
Make the Chinese investment all the more valuable.
Exactly.
So, no, but
we've got to get
them
out of there. Well, all right. So this transaction, according to the research that I've done on this article, happened way back in 2017. In 2024, in January, our then governor, Governor Parson, put out an executive order for all military bases within the state of Missouri. You cannot be a citizen or a company in a foreign adversarial nation, as so designated by our State Department, and own property within 10 miles of a DOD, a Department of Defense base. I didn't think that was good enough. We need to expand that, and that's why I filed the American Land and Property Protection Act. Basically, this says, if you are a member of a foreign adversarial nation, a citizen or a company of those, China, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea,
Russia,
you cannot own even an outhouse in the United States of America. You cannot go to those countries.
Okay, but you're not going to do that because you're not going to be able to take land away from all the Chinese people who
moving
own condos.
Forward. And here's something else, Leland. There is a Department of Treasury has the Committee on Foreign Investments in the United States of America called CFIUS. They are supposed to be taking a look at this. Under the Biden administration, they were not doing their job. In fact,
this happened in the 2017, this happened in the Trump administration, the
yes.
first Trump administration.
And whatever department was running it at that time did not do their job, and they somehow overlooked. They started to put some regulations in place where they were going and looking at these.
Okay, so let's look at
but
this.
They didn't have
where we're at
Air
now.
Force Base on the list of those. And
why would we have a list? Why would we have the Air Force Base with one part of the nuclear triad on the list? Who knows? Chinese companies buying land near U.S. military bases. Okay, so the Chinese have a plan to do this, right? And sometimes they conceal it through multiple shell companies. Sometimes they just go out and do it. And these are very strategically picked bases: Fort Bragg, Naval Air Station, Norfolk, Wright-Patterson, Whitman Air Force Base, as well. I get having new legislation and this, that, and the other thing, but right now you have B-2 bombers flying over Chinese-owned land. How do you stop that right now?
We get CFIUS under the Treasury Department, and I'm on the Financial Services General Government Appropriations Subcommittee, which oversees that, and we get them on the ball.
That's not true. That kind of stuff doesn't really happen. That's just an old conspiracy. All right, two things. First up, what kind of timeline are we at now as far as when a conspiracy is proven to be true? And number two, when is everybody going to wake up and realize it's the 1% against all of us? Now, before I show you this, I want you guys to understand this was going on in the 1990s. Wasn't that long ago. And if you think it's not still going on, then you're still asleep. But anyway, this story broke today. The prosecutor's office in Milan is opening up an investigation. Back in September, a documentary came out with legitimate reports of the human safaris that were going on back in the 90s. See, allegedly, these reports show that rich tourists were traveling to Bosnia and hunting people. And not just people. You could either pay from $90,000 to $160,000 for a normal person, or it was an extra charge for kids. We are nothing more than a game to these people. Y'all stay safe.
The next two from Controlled Matrix and Cross-Examined with the Gerbers talks about the Cabbage Patch Kids, Tartaria, and the Incubator Babies.
Let's go in. The last major reset occurred between the mid-1700s and late 1800s, roughly 250 to 150 years ago. This reset wasn't just war or disease. It was a global memory wipe, infrastructure repopulation, and narrative overwrite. They used mud floods, fires, engineered natural disasters, and selective rewriting of history to wipe Tartaria and erase what came before. Now here's the strange part. The Capitol buildings, World's Fair structures, old world cathedrals, domed geometries, these were already here. We didn't build them, we inherited them. Photos from the 1800s show cities fully built, yet nearly empty. No scaffolding, no construction, just there. And the stories, always the same, built in a few years, then burned down. Now enter the orphan trains and Cabbage Patch Kids. Between 1854 and 1929, over 200,000 children were shipped across the U.S. by train. No parents, no background, just orphans. But where did all the orphans come from? They were reset survivors, children with no memory, no lineage, placed into repopulated cities to seed a new narrative. Why? Because adults remember. Children can be programmed. Cabbage Patch Kids, the dolls said to be grown in the cabbage patch, are symbolic disclosure. Born from the earth, no parents. Just like the orphan trains, the name is not innocent, it's encoded truth. The U.S. wasn't founded and built from scratch. It was inherited, cleansed, and rebranded. The buildings were Tartarian. The reset was intentional. And now the memory is coming back. Because people like you are asking the right questions.
Ew.
Adopting a real Cabbage Patch Kid is a joy for the whole family.
Arnold cried.
I can't wait to see him.
They're here.
Look, genuine adoption papers and birth certificates.
I'll even get a birthday card.
I want to say between 1860 and 1920, there was 250,000 orphans being shipped around the country on trains. In America.
Like the Cabbage Patch?
Yeah, that's when you get into some weirder stuff where you just see all this art of kids being around in Cabbage Patches, not just like the dolls, but right. I mean, that's where it comes from, is on these old postcards and just this art, they're showing kids being plucked out of cabbage. And,
right.
And people like fishing kids out of lakes and
pulling
them out of wells. It's like the weirdest things. Then you get into like the World Fairs, as you were saying before, they have these incubator babies. Where they had exhibitions where they had all these preemies in these little, I don't know, incubator kind of things. It's like, it's the weirdest thing you've ever seen. But for some reason, like, you have all these aristocrats going to these things and being in awe of premature babies. It's bizarre. It's a little bit grotesque.
I wonder if these resets were like, it got too crazy. So let's just reset everybody.
It seems like that the story of America is mostly a lie. At least the expansion of it.
Yeah.
So we were saying, so what about these cities that were quote unquote founded in the 1850s or the 1870s? What if they did just find cities? Like, who would live there? Who would do all the work there? Is it possible that that's why they shipped kids across the country
to
potentially be the worker class? And these are the people who are going to eventually populate it. Because if you really think about the logistics of it, how does it make any sense at all that you would take orphans from the East Coast and just ship them out West to do what? And who's taking care of them? That sounds like a lot of 250,000 kids.
Yeah, who's feeding them? Who's, yeah.
You think about that, I want to say in the 1800s, there was only 80 million people, I think, in America, in that range. So you think about like the amount of people, it would be like 250,000 when the population is
lower.
Yeah, and so you had, at the same time, you had 150,000 people in insane asylums in the United States. Now there's like orphanages as they once were do not exist anymore.
I wonder if the insane asylum people were people that were protesting them changing everything and the Great Reset and saying, I don't agree with this. And they said, well, you're going to go get locked up.
Well, it's possible. One thing we've wondered is like, are these the parents of the kids? You know, 150,000 parents potentially in insane asylums, 250,000 orphans.
Too coincidental.
So whether or not you believe the past three stories, there is evidence to substantiate them. And a lot of information has been hidden from the general public in regards to how the elite view us as nothing more than cattle, something to be toyed with, abused, traded, and cast off. We know that the evil one or evil energy, depending on your belief system, controls this planet at this time. But the time is coming to an end. And whether or not your psyche will allow you to fully realize the depth of the evil that is embedded into the very core of our society and has been for many, many years and a lot of generations, please be open to some things that you may not want to hear because it bursts your proverbial hope bubble. And it's really important that we stay in prayer. We learn things, but we don't dwell on them. You know who knows the depth of deception that our government and the people in charge have? Our soldiers. They get it. They know because they've been through it. They've seen what they've had to go through. They've seen what has been going on behind the scenes. And they totally can relate to the evil that's in charge of the planet because they're being used as pawns to carry out their nefarious designs. So if you've been listening to my show every week, if not, go back and listen to the archives. We've talked about how the ego will put these walls up in what the ego thinks is a subject your psyche can handle. And if you're not at the level yet where you've learned to override the whole ego thing, okay, you'll get there. It's taking you a little bit longer. But the cool thing about when you're able to do that and override the ego and train your mind, you're also going to be open to a lot of positive things that you didn't think existed or were real that are going to balance out that negative. And you're going to be amazed at some of the things that you find that you can actually do with your brain. When that happens, you're going to come full circle. But the important thing is, if you understand this, you know now that it's real. And maybe 5 years ago you didn't. You thought that it was an urban legend or a conspiracy theory. Make sure you talk to somebody that you care about and get those emotions out and come to balance and understand that maybe this world isn't the most ideal place, but it's our place. And we have to learn to navigate the good with the bad in order to get through, in order to help our family members, in order to raise our children if we have them, and to help each other make the world a better place. So where we go from here is what we've been talking about for years. We stay positive. We see what we want to have happen in our minds and we hold on to that. What we don't want to do is fly off half-cocked and go after these people. And we need to keep in mind that they're harvesting our energy. As crazy as that sounds, there have been a lot of conspiracy theories that have sounded very crazy too, but they virtually all come true. So they're harvesting that hate, that anger, that sadness, that anxiety, that frustration, all of that. So that's why it's important, most notably for you, for your well-being. You need to feel those emotions absolutely and filter them all out and understand what we were taught in that book is we are not of this world. What does that mean? What that means is we can live in this world. We have to navigate this world, but we don't have to become so utterly engrossed in it and in all of the emotions that are evoked from the experiences that we have, especially in a negative light, so that it overtakes us. We need to remember that we're going to a better place. This isn't the end all be all. This is just a life experience. We're souls. We're in these bodies for however long we're put here. This isn't the beginning or the end of the story. And once you put all that into perspective, it becomes a lot easier to swallow. And also knowing that the bad times reign is coming to an end. It's done. They're finished. And they know that. That's why there's a full court press on every single spectrum to get us beat down, to have us feel defeated, to take our own lives, to incite violence to hurt other people. Because again, if we all stay together and we all support the same causes and values in a positive manner, they know they are defeated even sooner than when the spiritual forces come into play. So AI Atlas, that could very well be some of these forces coming back in. And it could be a supernatural battle that's going on that we are not yet aware of. And also not one that necessarily involves us at this time. There's a guy called Angry Astronaut on YouTube. He's got some really interesting theories on the solar flares and AI. Check him out. We also have to be mindful of keeping our energy high because that parallel universe thing. I'm telling you, there's something to that. The timelines, the alternate timelines, because when I look at things now, things are fractured. They're not the way they used to be. And I've talked about this before on my shows, and I don't want to get into it now because I have some other stories I want to cover. But I'm not freaking out over this AI Atlas thing. I was just telling somebody the other night, I'm strangely calm, cool, and collected. I'm not excited. I'm not agitated. Little bit of question mark in my head there about what really is this. And when I try to look into it, I'm showing NASA trying to be secretive about this and being scared of it. I'm also seeing that Lucifer telescope, this is one of the things they've been watching to come in. And they're freaking out about it. There's a lot of frantic energy around both of those, NASA and Lucifer. Okay, I want to get into the veteran stories. But first, to finish out the conspiracy theory segment, this one's about Erica Kirk from the Daily Rumble. Pay close attention to this for all y'all who are on the Erica Kirk bandwagon. You might want to rethink that. Please use your discernment. As badly as you want something to be doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is. And if you're shutting down any other perspective other than your own, you might want to check your ego. show. Please go back and listen to the archives on my shows regarding that subject.
What do you notice about Erica Kirk's speech right here?
Erica Kirk is a plant.
Probably wrote you letters.
I know.
Every week?
Every Saturday, so he would turn his phone off to honor the Sabbath. He would come in, open the junk drawer. Everyone has a junk drawer. Open the junk drawer, said Shabbat Shalom, put it in there, turn the phone off, slam the door, and he felt so free because he was unreachable.
Wait, I thought Charlie Kirk was a devout Christian, not a Jew. The Christian Sabbath is on Sunday, not Saturday. Was that a Freudian slip right there? Is she a honeypot? He was turning against Israel, gets assassinated, now she's inviting a bunch of pro-Israeli Zionists onto Turning Point USA?
If the shoe fits.
Okay, so I have some music from Hervé Borg. I have a video from Really Jordan Clark, Ask Uncle Jack, and Sick Bastard 69 for a triple play. I actually think this music is AI generated, which shocks me because the woman's voice is absolutely beautiful. It's very reminiscent of the group Celtic Woman. Normally, I wouldn't even be open to something like that that was AI generated, but I heard the song and it reverberated through me and I was in love with the harmony, and I didn't realize until later that that might be the case. By no means do I want robots to take over and replace humans, but this is one of the cool things I was telling you about on my show where I was predicting what was coming for this year, is we're going to have some really crappy things from AI and some really false, deceptive things, and we're going to have some beautiful things too. So this is one of the good things. If nothing else, and it's totally AI generated and they didn't take some woman's voice as the song and mess with it, it should at least inspire real musicians to step up their game and get back to real music. The other clip that I shared earlier, Jay Walker, Kane Walker, Ain't For Sale, was also done by this guy, Hervé Borg.
Still standing tall in uniform, I've heard the call, Veterans Day comes once a year, but my heart carries every tear.
Well, it is Veterans Day, and I was actually just reading something before. You know, like, we talk about Q and how Q said all this is going to be biblical. And if you guys know about the Bible, obviously 40 days, 40 nights. Kind of ironic that the whole shutdown lasted 40 days and 40 nights. Anyways, to the veterans, I have a message for the veterans out there. First of all, I just want to say, obviously, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you've done to protect this country, your loved ones, your family, people you don't even know that don't respect you. But just know that we're very thankful. Second, I just want to say that I know a lot of veterans are, not only veterans, people are confused. Confused right now about what was the point? What was the purpose? I went to war for what? Put all that behind you. It's not about that. See, what separates you from the people that are not veterans, the people that do not serve, is that moment when you dug down deep and you said, use me. God, I'm here. Use me. I will step up and defend my country. I will step up and defend my freedom. I will step up and defend the freedom of my fellow citizens. And that takes a lot of courage. And that takes a lot of guts that a lot of people don't have. So, put the lies, all the past behind, and just know that we're very thankful for you. Because without our veterans, our military, none of this exists. The country does not exist without you. 100%. So God bless you. Thank you. And I hope amazing things come in helping our veterans, because you guys deserve it the most.
I've seen the stars through sleepless nights, heard whispers soft in firelight from barracks cold.
Hello everyone, Uncle Jekyll, I'm 101. Can you imagine 101? I'm also a veteran, if you didn't know already. And here's a little poem for our veterans. For those who served and stood so strong in battles fierce where the nights were long. Through distant lands and skies of gray, you gave us peace in the light of day. With courage bold and heart so true, we carried through the red, white, and blue. Today we honor, our thanks we send to every veteran, our American friend. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you for your service. This is Uncle Jack signing off.
I carry days etched in my mind. Their echoes linger intertwined. For every soul who gave their all, I stand, I serve, I'll never fall.
America is the country she is because of young men and women who are willing to forego wearing a business suit, forego strolling down easy street, and forego living the good life, to wear instead the cloth of our nation, to travel instead along an uncertain road fraught with peril, to live instead a life on the ragged edge of danger, to live lives that matter on a fundamental level.
Those of us who wear the uniform now certainly understand the gravity of the legacy that we inherited from the greatest generation, and we strive every day to honor your service with our service.
It took the Air Force, the Coast Guard, the Navy, the Marine Corps, and our Army to win World War II.
May God bless our military men and women, and may God bless the United States of America, which has always been and forever shall be the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Veterans Day, we sing their praise. The scars run deep through endless days. Raise your voice for those who roam. Their fight lives on. It brings me home.
Okay, a positive story by request from that good news girl and a little Zeppelin to help it along.
Swan boarded the New York City subway and rode calmly and quietly like the perfect passenger. Commuters didn't even bat an eye. This apparently just felt like a normal Thursday to them. But the swan wasn't just running errands around town. The subway ride was just one leg of a long and necessary journey for her. It all started when a wildlife biologist named Ariel decided to spend the day before her 30th birthday birding at the Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge in Queens. About a mile in, she spotted a swan sitting motionless in the grass, and she could just tell something was wrong. That was confirmed when she approached and the exhausted swan tried to move but was unable to walk, which meant she couldn't access food and wouldn't survive long on her own. Ariel, a former animal care manager at the Wild Bird Fund, knew exactly where to take her, but she'd arrived by subway and bike and she was over an hour from the rehab center. So she wrapped the 17-pound bird in her jacket and carried her a mile back to where her bike was. There, strangers offered to help, driving Ariel and the swan to the subway station while another person took her bike there. From there, Ariel and the swan took a 20-minute ride to Brooklyn, where her friends met her and drove her the rest of the way to the Wild Bird Foundation in Manhattan. There, the swan was diagnosed with lead poisoning and immediately started the medications she needed. She was then able to get physical therapy to strengthen her legs, getting her in shape to return to the wild, all thanks to a lucky encounter with a wildlife biologist who knew exactly what to do, and some kind strangers who were willing to help. I'm Jen, and I post something positive every day.
That, of course, was Swan Song by Zeppelin. The next triple shot from Neurodivergent Nate, I Live for Donuts, and Trump addresses the gender thing again and introduces the Sparkle Creed that I talked about in my intro. You explain to me, folks, how this is okay. How they can take the Apostles' Creed and turn it into this insanity, and that's all right. But we have to be so respectful of every other religion and their rights. Explain that to me, Lucy.
I'm an elementary school teacher, and I work to make all of my students become transgender. As an educator, it is my
my responsibility to form the next generation of world leaders, and I believe that the future of our world rests in the hands of trans youth. At the beginning of every morning, we recite our Down with the System pledge, study trans history, and practice using pronouns that are different than the ones that were assigned to us at birth. If any student ever misgenders another student or refers to themselves as cisgender, they are held back from recess and given additional transgender lessons.
Our faith today in the words of the Sparkle Creed. I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and
I don't think so.
Only don't play that.
As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female. If you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
I've got a couple of funny clips left for you folks, and boy, I'm glad the show's almost over tonight, actually, because I'm getting really hungry, and I have some snacky snacks waiting for me, and no, they're not on a charcuterie board.
Like the Italians, like, we've been throwing slabs of gabagool and salami on a wooden board since the time of Julius Caesar. Get out of here with your charcuterie board.
It's Gen X time with Gen X Gina 66 and Gen X Jono.
Hey, y'all. Okay, I just had an epiphany. A Gen X epiphany, which is pretty much the best kind you can have. Anyway, okay, so you know how the use of sarcasm is a sign of intelligence? So, we're already smarter, so we got that going for us. But did you know that the use of sarcasm can add 2 to 3 years onto your life? So stay with me here. You gotta dig a little deep to get my logic, but listen to this. If the use of sarcasm adds 2 to 3 years onto your life, and we've been sarcastic, like, since we could talk, let's face it, then if you add up all those years, we're basically 15. So it makes sense that our sense of humor would reflect our age, because we're basically 15. So not only do we look good for our age, sarcasm has made us immortal, y'all. I'm right. Right? And the best part is, we owe it all to sarcasm.
The older generation had it easier. The old generation, dude, was lazy as f- The old generation, dude, had such an easier life than we do, bro.
All right, here's the deal. Little Brosip over there, an entire mini-series of Rage Bait videos all directed at us. Gen Xers, baby boomers, calling us lazy, saying we had life easy, how much harder they work and how much harder they have it, they being, you know, the younger generations today. But at the end of the day, the only point is making is about buying power. Stating the obvious that today, in this specific economy, buying powers, it takes a whole lot of money to buy a whole lot of nothing. I get it. Not wrong. Does that mean that older generations were lazy as... Dude, my dad? Silent Gen. Dude could outwork a mule. I could not imagine doing the kind of work the way that man did. I don't think sick day was part of his vocabulary. My mom? Baby boomer. Dude, the woman could work. Both in the home and in our diner, the woman is, was, and always will be a working beast in every good way possible. Love you, Mom. Gen X, we've been working since we were like 9. Lazy? I don't think so. But buying power specifically, yeah, you had more of it back then. But you can't cherry pick the one good thing a generation gets to enjoy without looking at all the stuff there's no way in hell his generation, or mine for that matter, would want to put up with. Great Depression, polio, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Over 45% of baby boomer men were enlisted in the military. A lot of them served actual time and, oh, by the way, got drafted to do so. Kids today don't even know what selective service is. Don't believe me? Ask them. 18 years old, I was at the post office, praying it wouldn't come back, and thankfully it hasn't. You can't cherry pick. Yesterday was yesterday. It had its own unique benefits and challenges. You've got yours. Is what it is. And it will change. Trust me. It will change.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. Thanks for listening tonight, folks. I wanted to remind you all to please like and subscribe on YouTube or Rumble, wherever you listen. Please share my show with your friends so they can listen too. Please go ahead if you're on Facebook and like the Positude podcast page. If you're listening on Trim Radio Network, Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard is Peter Kling's new show, Revelations. Give it a listen. If you're into biblical prophecy, I think you'd really enjoy that. And on Saturday nights, we have Briscoe is Red Pill Reality Show at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard. Thanks all for listening. See you next week. Have a great night.